It's kind of like three things in one. I mean, it's a currency, it's a medium of exchange. It's also a way to store value. It's like a commodity, and that also has gotten a lot of attention, the way, a Bitcoin was originally a fraction of a cent, and then it rose over time, and it was $1,100 per Bitcoin for a while, and then it collapsed, and it was down to 150, and now it's 400 or 600 or somewhere like that. A commodity, a piece of metal or something that when China builds a lot of stuff, that metal is worth a lot. When China stops building stuff, that metal isn't worth very much. And then the third thing that's really, and some people say this is what's really going to make a difference with Bitcoin, why Bitcoin is going to make a difference. It's got a distributed system for determining what is a real Bitcoin, what isn't. And it's a distributed peer-to-peer network. So when I do a credit card purchase, it goes to a central database that's maintained by the credit card company, and it's double-checked against that, and then it comes back and it tells the retailer, yeah, this is okay. And that's the way it's always been done. Bitcoin does it very differently. It has a widely distributed there was a good article in this week's The Economist talking about it, which said that you can think of it as a ledger. It's an electronic ledger of everything that's ever been done with every Bitcoin purchase anytime. And so when I do something with my Bitcoin, it goes and checks against that ledger to make sure that I haven't already spent that Bitcoin somewhere else and make sure that it's a real Bitcoin. Although it sounds hideously complicated and it does have drawbacks, it is much easier, more straightforward than sort of the central database maintained by somebody on high. And that's one of the reasons why, if you're a retailer who accepts Bitcoin, the Bitcoin transaction fees is only about 1% of the purchase, whereas for credit cards, it's 3% or more, because Bitcoin's much more efficient. And there are many people who say that that aspect of Bitcoin is what is going to last and is what is going to really significantly affect the financial systems.
We have a few more than a few retailers and establishments that accept Bitcoin in this state. In a lot of ways, something that pushes a lot of New Hampshire's tech buttons, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. It's wicked cool, if nothing else. I mean, you've got your little smartphone app and you can just sort of punch a button and you've transferred the money over to the retailer instantaneously. And as I say, then you get your cup of coffee. And actually, there is at least one cafe that I know of in the state that accepts, or probably more. Hereabouts in Nashua, there's Vertical Dreams, the climbing gym, which was one of the first places in the state to accept it, the Manchester and the Nashua branches. There is a barber shop in Merrimack that accepts it. For many people, the philosophy behind Bitcoin is one of the draws. It's very appealing to the libertarian, free state project kind of folks who want to minimize government interference. The idea of using a currency that is not, overseen by the government, that's very appealing. Above and beyond, it's practical in other applications. The libertarian community tends to be, they tend to swing slightly geeky anyway, so you combine that with the very, very interesting and well-designed software systems that created it, whoever it was who created it, since the creator is still unknown. It's pretty darn appealing stuff.
Since you mentioned the creator, I wanted to ask, because there has been a lot of controversy about that Newsweek article that purported to identify an individual as the founder of Bitcoin. And the subject of that article said, "I am unconditionally denying having anything to do with Bitcoin. It wasn't me." So just checking here, you didn't found Bitcoin, did you?
Oh man, that now that it. From what I know, I don't know enough to judge its value, but talking to people who do know enough, they're all extremely impressed with how well it was put together, how much forethought went into it. One of the reasons it's anonymous at the moment is, as a creator, they has several hundred million dollars worth of Bitcoin in their own possession. So you come out like that and you become a target. And also, anybody who was hurt, for example, with the collapse of Mt. Gox, which was one of the large Bitcoin exchanges, as everybody heard, it went under and then $400 million worth of Bitcoin sort of disappeared. And if somebody's looking for someone to blame, if they knew who created Bitcoin, even though they had nothing to do with Mt. Gox, they still might get sued or whatever. So there are reasons to stay hidden, I
Yeah,
suppose.
probably just good to let things settle down a bit and then maybe also wait for book publishers to start offering advances in Bitcoin, right?
I figure about the time the creator is like 70, they'll figure now it's time for me to get praise. This is, the time when scientists start winning their Nobel Prizes, that age and that kind of stuff. That's when they'll step forward.
You could take an online virtual victory lap.
Exactly.